Sufis are children of the moment. There is only the now. Only in the moment is his love visible, tangible, accessible. At this moment, we are here. Please live it. Be present. Sufism is about presence. And even more, this whole gathering is about being present together. This has much more significance than most of you realize. Physical presence is important. It's one of the problems of a patriarchal bias, if you like, that has focused on absence, but the beloved is elsewhere. But Sufis have always known the other side, the presence. He is closer to you than your very neck vein, the intimacy of love. But the beloved is not on a cloud, but in our own heart. This is the secret of the Sufi, and we have been asked to live it, not to think about it, not to meditate upon it, but to live it. Why do we do the zikr? So with each and every breath, we are remembered. We are present in his presence. This is something so simple, so fundamental, and so easily forgotten, because we have a whole cultural conditioning that truth is not here. Yes, we have to leave the ego behind. But the ego is so insignificant. The real part of ourself is here. My teacher Baisab said the soul pervades the body from head to foot. And the beloved is longing to be lived in his world. Not as some abstract entity, not as some philosophical reality, but as a state of being, because Sufism is a state of being, just as much as it is a love affair. And a love affair involves all of you. You can't have an intellectual love affair. I don't believe in love affairs in cyberspace. It doesn't make any sense. The cells of your body have to be tingling with passion, with longing, wanting to be touched, wanting to be saturated, wanting to be held. We are here for his sake. And sometimes we forget the here. We have made this extraordinary journey of incarnation in order to realize the secrets of God. What the Sufi calls the mystery of the word kun, be. This is the feminine mystery of God. The secrets of creation. And we can only realize them here. And we are needed here to realize them. We are here for his sake. It was a very interesting story about this conference, actually, because over a year ago, we were looking for somewhere in California, and we realized the only place was a cinema. And it has also a particular significance in that it was built by women, which is important at this time. And it was very difficult to get a place to be here. They had an agenda. They kept on losing our answer machine, our messages on the telephone. The emails got lost. It didn't work for 2 months. Barbara was trying to ring them. The telephone never got through. Nothing worked. So then I said, we both meditated on it, and we felt there is something missing. And then we thought, what is the ancient tradition of this land? This land has a whole sacred tradition to do with place, to do with being somewhere. So I said to Barbara, the only thing you can do, you have to go down there and sit there until they give us a place. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. You have to sit there. You have to sit on this piece of land. You have to be there. And so she got in her car and drove down here and sat here. And after 2 days of sitting here, the woman who organizes everything, who is the doorkeeper to the place, opened her door to Barbara. And then they discovered they both had Native American heritage, and the woman who organizes this place, her family has the wisdom of the dream, her mother has the wisdom of the dream, her daughter has the wisdom of the dream. And it was to do with being here. We have almost forgotten the simple mystery of being here for his sake. You see, a love affair with God is not something abstract. It is something that has to be lived. And why do Sufi stories and poems talk about blood? That the blood has to flow. Because blood is about life. If we don't live it here, in this world, in this time, in this place, it will never be lived in this way again. Each moment passes. Each moment that is not stamped with the name of God in the hearts of those who love him is lost. And a mystery that could be revealed is never revealed. Because he never reveals himself in the same form twice. And we have been given access through the heart to live the mystery of his love for us, of his love for humanity, of this core of love that is singing when you listen to it, that is alive, that is so luminous, but it needs to be lived in us. And what is quite extraordinary is there has been this transition that has been silently taking place, is that it no longer needs to be lived just alone. It needs to be lived no longer just as a solitary pilgrim lost to the world. It needs to be lived together. And that is what Sufis can do. I think it is a wonderful contribution to make to the world, to the beloved, to the oneness, to live together this mystery of the heart we have been entrusted with. Since the beginning of time, even before they were called Sufis, there were lovers of God that knew the secret of his oneness. This secret that is hidden within the heart of hearts of everyone. But we have been given a key, the key of the divine names of God, the key of our own longing to open the door in the heart of hearts where this mystery is hidden, where this wine that is drunk before the creation of the vine, the sweetness that was before honey or bee. And what is a wonderful thing is we are no longer going to be persecuted for talking about it. This is not the 14th century anymore. One of the wonderful qualities of America is you have freedom of belief. It may seem something superficial. It actually is vitally important. It is why certain things can only happen here. Because certain things can be said here without the danger of repercussion. Because, and things need to be said publicly. When Mrs. Tweedy first heard some of the tapes of when I was talking in America, she was amazed. She said, "He is allowed to talk about things I was not allowed to talk about." Certain mysteries of the heart need to be shared in public. Because as a culture, we have forgotten them. I am always amazed that we have forgotten the simple reality that the world belongs to God. It is like, as I said, the fish forgetting about water. It is so basic. And we know it. Because in our hearts, we know that everything is He. Everything is God. How can anything not be God? Even the darkest place in the darkness of forgetfulness, that is also God. He also created forgetfulness. There is nothing other than God. How can there be? What else is there? And we live it as a love affair. That is what is so beautiful. Not as a duty, not as an obligation, not as the law, but as a love affair. Because if you are in love with somebody, you want to remember them. You want to be in their presence. You don't have to do it. Nobody tells you to do anything. It is because your heart wants it. Because you have tasted this wine of intoxication. Because somewhere you remember what it is like to be one with God. That memory of the heart that is hidden from so much of humanity has been given to Sufis in safekeeping. And they have held it secret for millennia, allowing it only to be known by initiates. When Al-Hallaj spoke about it in the mosques and the marketplaces, he was crucified. But the world has forgotten. People go throughout their whole daily business, day after day, forgetting this primal reality. It is like forgetting there is air to breathe, and so their souls are starved. And the seeds of remembrance need to be put back in the world. The seeds of divine presence need to be sown again in the substance of humanity. And you don't have to do anything. That is the beauty of it. You don't have to join a crusade. You just have to live your own love affair with God and not be shy about it and not to try to keep it hidden in the closet and to pretend to your neighbors and even your husband you don't really love God. We can't afford to do that anymore. There is something that needs to be lived, and who else is there to live it? We are here because we love God. There are servants among my servants who love me and I love them, and they look towards me and I look towards them. And there is a need to know that we are together in this. There are such forces of forgetfulness, of darkness, that want to swamp any remembrance. That we can't do it on our own. We need to know that we are together in this. And not just as individual groups of lovers of God. That is, of course, the tradition, and that will never change. We will always meet together in our own groups as Sufis have done for centuries, connected by the thread of the tradition, by this color of the ray of love of the line to which we belong. But we also need to come together like we are here, to know that we are together. The threads of the rays of love need to be woven together to create a container that is not this or this, but that reflects in its multiplicity the oneness that we know is real. That is the work of the Sufi. To bring alive this oneness we know in our hearts. That we want to live. That we are allowed to live. That needs to be lived. Not just as philosophical idea, but as love affair. Sufis are lovers of God, that is all. One of my favorite great Sufis, Abu Sa'id, he was one of the great ones, and one of the lovely things he said, Sufism was at first heartache. Only later it became something to talk about. We are a Sufi because somebody has stamped into our heart the fire of divine remembrance. And we are not allowed to forget it. But we can no longer afford to live it just in private. Of course, our own inner journey, the inner journey of the soul from the alone to the alone, will always remain. And we will go through the trials of the path and the tests of the path. And there will be states of nearness and states of separation, and times of deserts and times of bliss. Because that is the inner journey of the soul. But the emphasis is shifting. The emphasis has shifted. It is no longer about us. There is a bigger horizon that is opening that we are being asked to step into, to celebrate his oneness in the midst of life, because life has forgotten it. When you go to work in your daily jobs, who around you thinks of God? Who remembers him when they tap at their computer keys? They are too busy. But we have been asked to remember him, to create this web of light in the midst of this world. So those who don't know that he exists can look up and see this web of light and think, oh, there is more to life than just mundane existence. And then the world can become alive and begin to reveal its secrets back to humanity. This world is not just a physical dimension. It is a reflection of God. I was a hidden treasure and I longed to be known, so I created the world. And he created it with such love and such care and such tenderness to reveal himself to himself. And we are allowed to become part of the mystery of his self-revelation. It is such a wonderful thing to do, to become part, to be part of the self-revelation of God, of his unveiling or her unveiling to herself, because the veils have to do with the feminine aspect of the divine. And they are so beautiful, and each veil has a different texture, and each veil has a different meaning and a different message. And each veil has a different fragrance. And we don't have to go anywhere to find them because they are around us. And we don't have to look for any outer guides because the guidance is in our own hearts, because the guidance is love. The guidance has always been love. As St. Augustine said, love and do as you will. If you love, nothing else matters. Love finds its way. Love unveils what needs to be unveiled and keeps hidden what should be kept hidden. And we are part of the secret of love revealing itself. And there is so much joy in this revelation, in this opening of love to itself. We work too hard, even spiritually we work too hard. Maybe this is this strange Puritan work ethic that came here with the settlers. We were always taught if it is too much effort, it is not spiritual. Yes, you need to make an effort, but you also need to be allowed to allow yourself to be loved. Allow yourself to be naked. Allow yourself to be lost. Allow yourself to be forgotten. Allow yourself to be saturated with divine fragrance. Allow yourself just to be here for his sake. Just to open your heart and say, Beloved, do with me as thou willst. And to know that there are others who are also part of this mystery of unveiling, who are also here to share the secrets. What used to be kept hidden cannot afford to be kept hidden. The world is crying for a certain knowledge, a certain love that we Sufis have access to. Because we are his own personal idiots. Look, on other spiritual paths, you have to study hard, you have to learn the law, you have to do all sorts of things. We don't have to do any of that. We just have to love our beloved. And even that love is his love in our hearts. We are his own personal idiots. And as I was once told in a dream, he has a special tenderness for his own personal idiots. Somehow, in our culture, we have made spiritual life very complicated. Maybe it's the last aberration of a kind of mental culture. It doesn't have to be like that. It was never meant to be like that. I mean, Sufis are a strange lot. They say, for example, you don't need to talk about it, you don't need to write books about it, and they have written more books about it than anybody else. Luckily, most of them are still in Arabic, so you don't have to read them. It is also difficult for us as a culture to realize that everything has been given. This goes against all of our conditioning. We always think we are not good enough. We have to work harder for something. But if you believe in oneness, how can it be like that? If there is oneness, there is oneness. It means everything is there. Maybe we don't look in the right place. And there is a particular wonder about divine presence. The oneness of divine presence is everything is right here. I don't think we really allow ourselves to believe that. Everything is right here. You just have to learn to look. That is all. It goes against all of our conditioning to think that everything is right here. But it has to be. Because our beloved is right here. And our beloved is everything. If there is nothing other than God, then everything contains everything. And also, there is a mystical truth that if you are in service to God, the forces of life work differently. The moment you say yes to the beloved, the moment you open your heart and say, I am here for you, do with me as thou wilt, then the forces of life work differently and they bring you everything you need along a magnetic stream of devotion. It may not happen right away, because it takes time to change the currents of life. But you know in your own small way how a book can suddenly fall off a shelf, how somebody you need to talk to is unexpectedly there, how even some money you need for something suddenly arrives from a source you long forgot. But first of all, you have to recognize that it is being given to you. It has to be given to you. Because we don't deserve anything. And you can work all of your life and make every effort, and that is nothing compared to what he can give. In love, everything is always present. It has to be, because love is oneness. Love is, I think, the most direct expression of divine oneness in this world. It is an energy that doesn't actually belong to this world, which is why, for example, in love there is no time, there is no space. In love, everything is present. And Sufis learn to work with love, to work with the texture of love, to weave love into their days, to weave love into the most mundane activities. Mrs. Tweedy used to cook with so much love that when you ate the meal, it was amazing. It is like simple things, like if you do sewing with the zikr, and you put the name of God into each thread of the needle. You have any idea what that does on the inner planes? You make a tapestry of love. And it stays behind even when the outer activity has finished. The love, the tapestry of love, done consciously. The conscious remembrance of God creates an energy stream that helps not just yourself, those around you, the whole environment, the whole world. And love flows in all sorts of strange places. It gets through the cracks of people's defenses. Most people somewhere leave a back door open for love. Even those people who have so many defenses, somewhere there is a chink in their armor and love comes in. They may not like it. They may even get angry. But love gets in. There is a very lovely poem by Abu Sa'id when he says, "What was more pleasing in the world than when the lover went with lover, the friend with friend? The rest was only grief, while that was all joy. The rest was only talk, while that was all deed." Just to be together as friends, here, that is a Sufi practice. We don't have to work hard. You see, the world is alive with the love of God, but it needs us to take it where it is needed. That has always been the work of the Sufi, to take the love where it is needed. But what is interesting is that for centuries we have done this hiddenly, even hidden from our own knowledge. We have just lived our everyday life, gone to work, had children, had families, loved God, met in our different traditions, learned the different practices that we do, but didn't really know what we are doing. And that was meant to be. That's how it was for centuries. A certain knowledge was kept hidden even from the lovers of God. And that time is past. In this time, for some reason, if you keep something hidden too long, it begins to become putrid. It begins to become like a backwater in a river in which nothing flows. And then slowly it attracts disease and becomes stagnant and becomes putrid. And the sweet fragrance that was there is lost forever. It needs to be shared openly. It doesn't mean you go around talking about it. No. Of course, if you need to, you do. The heart speaks. You can't help it. It has to do with consciously acknowledging first that you are here for His sake, that you belong to God, and consciously living this, and allowing yourself to love God and to be loved by God. And all of the practices of the path are designed to help you to do this. But first, we need to step out of a certain isolation that many of us suffer from. This morning somebody gave me a very beautiful Hopi poem. And the Hopis are one of the spiritual ancestors of this country. And it is always important to respect the spiritual ancestors, to honor them. And I find it very meaning I was given this poem this morning, a message from the Hopi elders in the year 2000. To my fellow swimmers, there is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel that they are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say that we must let go of the shore. Push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our heads above the water. And I say, see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and celebration. We are the ones we have been waiting for. You know, love is so powerful. And a human being who looks towards God can change the world, not because they want to change the world, because a human being who looks towards God wants nothing, but because His will can come through our heart into His world. And together, knowing that we are together, even in our own individual lives, which we go back to, knowing that we are together, that we are part of a brotherhood or sisterhood of migrants, of lovers of God who keep watch on the world and for the world, then a certain work can be done that cannot be done in our isolation, that we cannot do alone. Threads of love need to be woven together. Different patterns of devotion need to merge. Different sacred traditions that until now have been kept separate need to fertilize each other. Otherwise, something that is meant to happen in the world will not happen. And this is a big step for many of us. Many Sufis love to be lone wolf. But the time of the lone wolf is over. As I said, the inner journey is always from the alone to the alone. But We need to know we are doing it together in different ways. And this is also very important. I don't myself quite understand why. There was a time in the 12th century or so, 13th century in the Middle East, where, for example, Ibn al-Arabi, when he traveled from Andalusia in Spain to Damascus, he used to go, one went from town to town, and in each town one will go and stay with the local Sufi sheikh. And there was this network of Sufis all over the Middle East, which was the flowering of the civilization at that time. While Northern Europe, they were in the cloud of darkness there, in the Middle East, there was a flowering. And part of what held it together was this whole network of different Sufi teachers and their disciples, minding their own business, as Sufis have always done, because our business is the beloved. And when you travel, you'll be welcomed. And it allows something to happen. It creates a container for something to be made more visible, more accessible. Humanity needs an inner structure of devotional spirituality in order to flower. This is not known in our culture because we only value what is visible, what is tangible. We have very little access to understanding the inner world. But in order for humanity to take a step, the lovers of God need to come together and to know that they are together and to become conscious that we are working together. We have always worked together because love is one. And in the oneness of God and the lovers of God, everything is always contained in this circle of love. You see, in the very core of creation, there is this axis of love. You know this song, "It's love that makes the world go round." It is actually esoterically correct. At the very core of creation, there is a pillar, if you like, if you can think of it in that terms, a pillar of pure love. And that is the axis of creation. It is also present in every atom, in every cell. But it is the central core of existence. It is the direct connection that everything in creation has to the Creator. Because in love, there is oneness. That's why when Sufis work together somewhere, there is no time, there is no space. We are together. It is true. That is how Sufis work. That is how they are so powerful. When their hearts are aligned, they are together. It doesn't matter what part of the world they are in. Doesn't matter what time zone, doesn't matter if you're awake or asleep, we are together in the oneness of love. It is a very, very simple reality. It just doesn't belong to this level of reality, that's all. I think it's much simpler. You experience it in personal relationships, which is why if you love somebody, you want to get closer and closer and closer. And in a love affair, you can even enter a zone where there is no time, where there is very little space, or infinite space. And in the love affair with God, it is always present. But there is this axis of love that runs through the world. And the work of the Sufis has always been to look after this axis of love. It is why we are here. Angels can't do it because they don't have the substance of the material world in their body. They can't help the love come into the final stage of manifestation. Because in order to make something happen, it has to happen through you. And women in particular are needed because they have a different relationship to the sacredness of the created world than men. Love can actually flow quicker, more directly, into all of the veins of manifestation through a woman. Which is why there are so many seekers in the West who are women. It isn't because it is easier for women to seek. It is like the chicken and the egg. It doesn't actually work like that. It is because something needs to be done that only women can do. But it can no longer be done just in secret. Because we need to know there are other people doing it. And we need to know a little of the different ways of doing it. And that is part of what we have shared this weekend. And it has been quite wonderful and quite moving to see these different traditions, these different threads of love, these different colors of love, flowing freely, coming together, separating, being woven together like a tapestry of love. I want to return to this basic concept that we have made a misunderstanding in the West, thinking the spiritual path is about our own development. That is a misunderstanding. It is a very fundamental misunderstanding. Yes, one may have states, one may have states of bliss, of nearness to God, of tremendous peace. They are the byproducts of being in service to God. And it is said that those who are his true servants never get anything. They don't even get the states of samadhi because they have renounced everything to be in service to God. We do not have to fulfill ourselves spiritually. We don't have to reach anywhere spiritually. We do our practices to keep an inner alignment, to keep ourselves aligned with the central energy of love as it flows through the world, or with the mystery of the relationship of lover and beloved in daily life. It is the same thing. If you have hopes for spiritual development, you will find many charlatans offering you those paths. They often charge money and ask you to do certain things. Sufism is free. Always has been, always will. And it respects the intrinsic freedom of every human being because we are made in the image of God. And God is absolute freedom. God is total and complete freedom. And that is why we have the right to forget God. And we are also allowed to remember him. But it is not about us. There is this lovely line by Rumi, which I have meditated on for years. There is no dervish, or if there is a dervish, that dervish is not here. There has been this big misunderstanding. And it actually now is like a veil that has fallen between many sincere seekers and the work that needs to be done. You are not going to get anything out of it. Of course, one gets given a tremendous amount. The love is endless. The bliss is beyond belief. The ecstasy sometimes leaves you staggering. And the mundanity of everyday life continues. And that is how it is meant to be. Spirituality is not a 10-step program because there is nowhere to go. There is an endless ocean of love and you are already swimming in it. It is already here. Divine presence is alive. You just have to know where to look.